Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you that were in this chapel 2 days ago for call day, it's hard now to concentrate on school, isn't it? Every year it's the same. There's a certain excitement that comes when you know where you're headed for ministry. And those of you who are first-year guys, you survived too. Congratulations to you. You made it through the day when everybody else has got something big happening and you have nothing. All right, so you fourth-year deaconesses, you have calls and are tasting being able to get out and do ministry, finally. The word from the Lord today that he has led me to put you, all of us who are in ministry, to just change. I want to caution you first, don't try to find a 2 or 3 point in this. There is none. Sometimes God just gives a word that has to be spoken. As you get ready to go out and serve and shepherd God's people, I want you to chew on one question. Do you weep? Do you weep? I'm not thinking about that in the sense of, are you easily moved to tears? Do you sniffle very easily? I'm talking about as you do ministry. Do you have the passion that leads to tears? Do you weep? I'm not speaking only about the days when you've got to conduct a funeral, or if you're not the one conducting the funeral, you're going there to be with somebody close to you who's going through the valley of the shadow of death, or someone that you know personally. I'm not speaking about like what the Bible says when it says mourn with those who mourn. I'm speaking about ministry every day. Every day in your ministry. Do you weep. Almost all the great ministers of our Lord God wept. Like Jeremiah. Remember the 13th chapter? All over the book, really, but I'm thinking the 13th chapter of Jeremiah when he said, "And my eyes will bitterly weep and flow down with tears because the flock of the Lord has been taken captive." You remember why they were taken captive? Because of sin, because they had wandered away from the Lord. And Jeremiah's reaction in the midst of people who had gone away from God wasn't to say, "I told you so, I told you what happened." It was just to weep. And Isaiah, as he spoke with the voice of God, 22nd chapter of the book of Isaiah, the 4th verse, he said the same thing. "Turn your eyes away from me. Let me weep bitterly. Do not try to comfort me concerning the destruction of the daughter of my people." In that longest psalm of all, Psalm 119 in the Psalms, 136th verse, the writer there, same thing for him. "My eyes shed streams of water because they, Lord, did not keep your law." Come with me in your mind to the 15th chapter of Luke. You know it. You're familiar with it. Remember the faithful shepherd? I don't know any other reason why he would leave 99 other sheep to go after one sheep, except that one sheep, what he thought of that one sheep going away from the Savior, going away from the shepherd. He wept and he had to go get him. Same chapter, remember 15th of Luke. I'm a father. I know the father there. Although his cheeks were dry and his upper lip was stiff, as he gave the younger son the inheritance that he wanted, I know on the inside that he was weeping because he knew of the destruction that was going to come to his younger son as he went off to do his own thing. He wept because the son wouldn't listen. He wept because the son thought he knew better. And then in that same chapter, remember the same father, when the son came home and he said, bring the fat calf and slaughter it. Celebrate, the son is back, my son has been found. He was weeping, I believe, as he went out to his older son, who was gripped by bitterness and hate and would not in any way come into the house. The father wept, come into the house, your brother is back. Do you? And if you weep when you look into ministry, you're in good company because you're also in the company of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who have been sent. How I've often longed to gather your children together like a mother hen gathers her chicks, but in tears you were not willing. Do you weep? Just one more. The scripture God wanted me to put for you today. You probably didn't pay much attention to the two words in it. It's so rich of other things. Third chapter of Philippians, the 18th verse, when Paul said, for many walk, of whom I've often told you, you know that one, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, and their end is destruction. What's their problem? Their God is their appetite. They follow their physical yearnings. Their physical yearnings take them away from God. Their glory is in their shame. The things that they should be hanging their head about because they're so ungodly, they hold their head up about. They set minds on earthly things. It is easy to become so cranial about the faith. But you're getting ready for it. If you haven't already seen it, when the dangers of a life apart from God take flesh. I just want to ask you, does it make you weep? Not with some kind of Pharisaical cluck of the tongue. Not as you go to be the leader of ministry, the shepherd, but you think you're going in as the sheriff of righteousness. Not when you hear of people going far, far away from the Lord in your church, and you act like you don't know anything about that. When in fact that's all just a cover of insulation, so that no one might ever ask you that in your heart, like in my heart, we went there ourselves. Do you weep? When you hear of a husband and a wife who aren't together anymore, maybe not even living in the same house, do you weep? When people in a side conversation that you weren't supposed to hear brag about how they haven't talked to so-and-so for 10 years after something that they did to them, does that make you weep? Do you weep? When the teenage girl who was crying out for attention affection from somebody and wasn't getting it from anybody at home, among friends, anywhere. And she went off and found it in the wrong place and got pregnant. And most of the church is putting her up on the cross in the midst of it. Do you weep when you think about the guilt that is on her shoulders? Do you weep as her pastor or deaconess when you think about how hard life is going to be for her in the days ahead as she tries to raise a child on her own? Do you weep when you hear others being so bombastic about the speck in other people's eye and don't even see the log in their own eye? Do you weep when single saints among you, friends, drink the Kool-Aid that says, well, since you're not married, there's something wrong with you. And then in response to that, they go out and get just anybody. But you know the problem of getting just anybody. If that anybody is not God's somebody, it's a mess of an anybody. Do you weep? Do you weep when church leaders make power plays and intimidation and put meetings ahead of going out to bring the good news of the Savior to a world that needs it so badly? Do you weep? Do you weep when over and over you see people around you caught in the spells of this time, the spell of things and toys, the spell of evil that's popular, the spell of addiction that I can look without being captured. I can taste without being taken over. I can do it. I can handle it. I can manage it. Reverend to be, deaconess in waiting. When you come across that, do you weep? Here's the point. You and I aren't ready to shepherd a people, to lead a parish, if we don't weep about sin and its destructive effects on us and the people around us. Paul said, for many walk, of whom I told you, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And if I read it right in Philippians chapter 3, he wasn't weeping about people who have strayed from Christ out there. He was weeping about us who stray from Christ in here. As you look at the lives of those that you love, and as a shepherd, a leader in the church, those who you learn to love, when they head away from the Savior, when they head down dangerous paths, when they think they can go on, do their own thing with no consequence, no hurts, I can step over the line, I can step back over the line. Do you weep? See, because it's the weeping, the passionate love for them that will make you get out of your office and go and find them and plead with them to be reconciled with God. Do you weep? You see, because we all know firsthand ourselves what sin does and how it takes us away from God and how it brings destructive consequences to our own lives. We know ourselves how dangerous it is to live apart from the mercy of the Lord. As I close, there's two lessons about ministry that I learned when I was getting ready for this. I'm just going to talk to myself a minute And if they're helpful to you, I thank God. Here's the first. I don't ever want to stop weeping about the hurt and destruction of people's lives that sin causes, including in my own life. God, may I never stop weeping about the hurt and destruction of people's lives that sin causes. Here's the second one. I don't ever want to stay weeping because we have a Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't ever want to stay weeping because at the cross, He paid the cost to clear me. At the cross, He broke the power that frees me. At the cross, He took the pain that brings peace to me. At the cross, He takes the tears of my despair and changes them into joyous tears of hope. Let us pray. Oh God, may we never stop weeping about sin. Oh God, may you never stop taking our tears and giving us hope in Jesus. Amen.